Given it the title, Listen to the Angels. Listen to the Angels. So looking at Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. Andy Park, who calls himself Mr. Christmas, claims to have celebrated Christmas every day since 1994. Every day he drinks champagne. He sends himself cards and gifts. I guess he couldn't find someone else to do it for him. And he sits down to a turkey dinner after watching a recording of the Queen's speech. Because the Queen hasn't caught up with him. She only records once a year. Not that it seems to have done him much good. His local paper describes him as broke, fat, and single. I'm sure you can work out why he is broke and fat. But why single? Well, Mr. Park, who is a divorcee, confesses, quote, "It's hard to find a woman who wants to celebrate Christmas every day with you," end quote. Most of us don't take Christmas that far. We may love Christmas, but once a year is quite enough for most of us. In fact, sometimes once a year seems more than enough. Choosing gifts, wrapping them, shopping for food, pulling the whole thing together requires a massive amount of effort. So why do we bother? Why do we knock ourselves out for this one day, striving to achieve a perfect Christmas where everyone has just what they want, a perfect Christmas where everyone is happy, a perfect Christmas where everyone gets on well together, especially when we insist on gathering together relatives who have strained relationships, and a Christmas where everyone, except the poor soul who's doing the cooking, gets a rest? Aren't we just setting ourselves up for disappointment? Well, perhaps it's because deep down we feel the gap between the real and the ideal. We know the life we want. We want peace. If only everyone in our world would stop fighting. If only everyone in our families would stop fighting. We want to find joy. If only we didn't have to scrimp and save. If only we could enjoy ourselves without always worrying about the bill that comes at the end. If only we could go through life without that vague sense of dissatisfaction, perpetually thinking that, if only I could have a bit more, then things would be better. We want rest. So often we feel like a hamster on a wheel, running faster and faster to try and get the life we seek, but we never seem to get anywhere. We want peace, we want joy, we want rest. We want that feeling of contentment that things are settled and good. But too often the reality of everyday life feels like the exact opposite. But if there could be just one day when everything worked, that ideal moment when after Christmas lunch is finished, and you've managed to forget that the washing up will have to be done at some point, and you're sitting back with your feet up, feeling full, surrounded by presents, everyone around you happy too, when you haven't yet thought about the credit card bill that will appear in January, then we could feel contentment. We could feel peace, we could feel joy, we could feel rest. Perhaps deep down we're saying, look, if I could just have one perfect day, every year I could put up with the other 364. Christmas, you see, shines a spotlight on what we are seeking. We want peace, we want joy, we want rest. Andy Park reckons he can find it by having Christmas every day. But he's wrong. It's just brought him isolation, a massive hole in his pocket, and a lot of hard work. To find peace, joy, and rest. Ironically, we need to look at the bit of Christmas that too often receives least attention. Jesus. Bringing peace, joy, rest is the very reason that Jesus was born at the first Christmas. How can we know this? Well, one of the striking things about the first Christmas is that there are loads of angels. If you read in Luke's Gospel, Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, and Matthew's account, the two where we know most of the Christmas story from, there are an amazing amount of angels. What are they? We'll put to one side images of small girls in nativity plays wearing outfits made from white sheets and wings somehow attached. Real angels are God's messengers. And so why are there so many angels around at Christmas? Because Jesus coming into the world is at the very heart of God's dealing with the human race. So there was an awful lot God wanted to tell us at Christmas. The angels tell us just who this baby born in Bethlehem is. And exactly what is it that he came to do? If you want to know what Christmas is about, if you want to find peace and joy and rest, then listen to the angels. And one of the groups the angels were sent by God to were some shepherds. And that's good news instantly for us, because shepherds were incredibly ordinary people. Andy Park, Mr. Christmas, reckons he has spent $2 million on Christmas over the last 25 years. But God's Christmas gift is free. It's within the reach of every one of us. So we're going to zoom in on what the angels said to the shepherds and what that tells us about the Jesus who brings peace and the joy and the rest that we're all searching for. This is what the angels said, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. The angels said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Joy promised, peace promised, and I'll explain in a few minutes about how this brings rest to us. But how does this all work? Well, the first thing we need to know is that Jesus must be at the center of Christmas. The angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all the people." And then he goes on to say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." So on the one hand, we have good news that causes great joy. And then the angel says, "Well, what is it about this news? What is this news that brings great joy?" And the news that brings great joy is that today, a Savior has been born to you. In other words, it's the birth of Jesus that brings the great joy. Now, at that point, you might say, "Well, yeah, we know that's what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of Jesus." But hold on, do we know that? I think most people, in our country at least, treat the story about Jesus, the baby born and placed in a manger, like the props for a play. It's just the background scenery for Christmas. The real action is you and me rushing around frantically, going to Christmas plays, going to Christmas parties, buying food, buying presents, forgetting that haven't yet posted the letter to Australia, rushing down the post office. That's the real action as far as we're concerned. But the angel tells the shepherds that the birth of Jesus isn't just the scenery. This is where the real action is. This is the really good news. This is the thing that will cause great joy, not all that frantic rushing around. The birth of Jesus isn't the props. The birth of Jesus is the play. If we're going to find peace and joy and rest, we're going to have to understand why the birth of Jesus is good news that will bring great joy. And if we're going to understand why this is such great news, we need to understand who he is and what he came to do. And in that short space of just a few lines, when the angels talk to the shepherds, they call Jesus a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Let's work from the end. The Lord. That was just the common way in those days for Jews to refer to God. I mean, in that particular passage, we read about verse 9, the angel of the Lord. We read about the glory of the Lord. And in verse 15, the shepherds say, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Take out the word Lord, stick in the word God. You understand it. The angel of God, the glory of God. Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which God has made known to us. Lord equals God. So the angel was telling the shepherds that this baby was none other than God himself. I can't do the American accent that Dan did earlier, but it's still true. He was 100% God. And yet, he had just been born as a baby. The angel is totally clear about that as well. So he's 100% God, but he's also 100% human. That is absolutely extraordinary. That the one God, the only real God, the God who made the entire universe out of nothing, the God who has absolute power, the God who keeps the universe going moment by moment, that he should enter the world he made, that he should come down to this tiny planet, that he should be born as a human being. This can't be relegated to the props for a traditional Christmas. This has to be center stage. Now, when a royal baby like Prince George is born, the media really go to town, don't they? It's the lead item on the news. But this is the birth of someone vastly more important than a future king of our country. This is the biggest news story about a birth of all time. So the angels are telling us God has been born as a human being. Now that is massive news, but what's the point of it? What's he doing here? What's he come for? And I think that's the point at which the average person's understanding of the Christmas story sort of peters out. Well, then it's time for the next title, the Messiah. Traditional translations use the word Christ. But the danger is that we just think of as Christ as though it's Jesus' surname, and presumably Mary and Joseph were therefore Mr. and Mrs. Christ. It's not. It's not a surname. It's a title. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. That's why this translation uses the word Messiah. In the part of the Bible written before Jesus was born, all those hundreds of years ago, as Dan was saying, hundreds of years before Jesus, God had promised his people a Messiah, someone who would rescue them, someone who would sort out the mess, someone who would put the world to rights. Now that sounds like good news. After all, we all know, don't we, the tongue-in-cheek answer to the question, what do you want for Christmas, is world peace. Now, if Jesus really has come to bring that, if that is what Messiah means, then, wow, this is good news. Yeah, Jesus has been born as the Messiah. Jesus is God's promised rescuer. That is why he is here. At which point you say, well, where's the world peace? I haven't really noticed it in 2016. Well, hold on. It's time to look at the third title or description, a Savior. The question is, what does our world need saving from? What is the root cause of all the problems in our world? Too easily, we just want to blame someone else. Yeah, I mean, take the American elections that we've just recently had, you know, just about everybody agrees that what the results showed was a huge dissatisfaction with the ruling class. So huge numbers of people went for a change of government. They elected what they thought was an outsider. They were saying, in effect, the problem's out there. We need a change of government. Well, sure, we need a change of government. But the change of government we need more than anything else is in our hearts. The problem is in here, not just out there. It's no use God changing things out there if he doesn't change things in here. Put it another way, if we ask God, look, what I want for Christmas is for you to get rid of all that is wrong in the world. Well, actually, we're asking him to get rid of us as well. The heart of the problem, as someone put it, is the problem of the heart. At the root of all the problems in our world is what the Bible calls sin. Our rebellion against God and our disobedience that flows from it. And that's what Jesus came to save us from. In Matthew's account, an angel, here's another one, comes and tells Joseph, Matthew 1:21, chapter 1, verse 21, you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus did that by coming into our world as one of us, living the perfect life we have failed to live, and then dying the death we deserve to die. He died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins so that we might be forgiven. The reason for Christmas is Good Friday. So Jesus must be at the center of Christmas. Secondly, because Jesus alone brings peace, joy, and rest. Because secondly, Jesus alone brings peace, joy, and rest. Firstly, peace. The angel said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That peace is peace with God. We long for loving relationships. I think that's a universal thing. But they seem so elusive. It's because we're starting in the wrong place. Start with your relationship with God. It's peace with God which is the key. Jesus was born to bring peace between people and God. It's our sins that come between us and God. And Jesus was born to live and then to die and to rise from the dead so that we could be forgiven and find peace with God. And that leads to peace with others who found peace with God, peace in the church. And that leads to God's people then being peacemakers out in the world. God doesn't promise world peace down here. But one day Jesus will return and there will be perfect peace. Jesus alone brings peace. Jesus alone brings joy. The angel said, I bring you good news that will cause joy, great joy, for all the people. The joy follows on from peace with God. When I know, as I do know, that Jesus died so that I am forgiven, that I'm at peace with God, I experience joy. Now, joy in the Bible isn't quite like happiness. Happiness is dependent on happenings. And so it's always fleeting because there are an awful lot of bad things that happen in our world. But joy is a deep down assurance that the bottom line is that things are all right. I'm forgiven by God. I'm at peace with God. I'm in a right relationship with God. I have a place in heaven for all eternity. And nothing can alter that because Jesus was born and lived and died and rose from the dead to make it mine. Joy is for all Christians because, quote, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And that brings, thirdly, rest. The angel said, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This peace, you see, is not something we have achieved. It's not something we've worked for. It's not something we have striven for, something that we fought for. It's something God has graciously given to his people, those on whom his favor rests. See, Christians can rest because Jesus has done the work. Christians can rest because what truly matters, peace with God, a joy that circumstances can't threaten, a secure future, is a gift from God. That is why it seems so many people find that rest is such an elusive thing, because they're trying to achieve it themselves. They're trying to find peace and joy by their own efforts. Christmas, for many of us, is just an awful lot of hard work, trying desperately to find that perfect 5 minutes rest after Christmas lunch. If you take that approach, you'll never find rest, because you'll never achieve the peace, the joy, and the security you seek. Now, to find rest, you must receive peace with God as a gift. Christmas really is about presents, God's gifts to us. And so we can rest because he's done the work. And that brings us, in closing, to our response. So respond in faith like the shepherds. Just remind us how the shepherds responded. It's probably the least well-known bit of the passage. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They heard the good news, they listened to the angels, they believed the good news, they acted on it, they found Jesus, they rejoiced. I shared with you the message the angels brought from God, of peace, of joy, and rest as a gift brought by Jesus. It won't do you any good unless you believe it. And believing this message isn't just like saying, "Oh yeah, yeah, I agree." If you really believe it, you will act on it. Because the shepherds believed what the angels said, they went into Bethlehem and looked for Jesus. They went to find the baby that they'd been told about, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And if you will listen to the angels, you too will go to Jesus. That doesn't involve going to Bethlehem now. Jesus isn't there anymore. He's in heaven. But you can call out to him in prayer. In the book of Acts, as the Jesus followers shared the good news, one of them, Peter, summed it up like this. He said, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Call out to Jesus. "I want saving. I want my sins forgiven. I want that peace with God. I want that joy that you can only give. I want that rest where I don't have to work to find security, but just rely on you." And if you do that, like the shepherds, you too will rejoice. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Then it really will be Christmas every day. Not cards, not turkey, not the Queen's speech. Andy Parker's missed the point. But there'll be what really matters at Christmas every day: peace and joy and rest in the ways that truly matter.